Welcome to the Hostile Zone.
Use your voice, the naughty hears you.
So welcome to the Hostile Zone, where we confront chaos with clarity and challenge convention with conviction. Today, we're talking about surrealism, not just the abstract, but the exotic kind that stays locked behind museum glass, but the kind that reaches into culture and says something real and raw and relevant. And we're in an era where truth is warped, folks. Truth is warped. Reality is filtered. Let's get real. We all know that. And attention spans are currency. The attention span is worth more than the dollar. Oh. And the world feels like one forever dream is gone, but maybe another one might be around. So let's wake up and get this conversation going. Because it isn't just about the art, it's about the resistance and about the voice.
Yes.
And the vision. And it's about the woman sitting beside me that embodies all of that and more. Joining me, as always, the incomparable Bianca C., the artist, the thinker, and the only woman I know that can truly turn a courtroom or a runway into her own personal stage. She's sexy and brilliant, unapologetically sharp. Grace and grit equals measure. Whether she's lighting up a mic on the delivery of a masterpiece of elegance, Bianca brings presence, power, and perspective. Will you properly introduce
yourself? Oh, yes, absolutely.
Now, how's it, Bianca C?
Bianca C, that's me.
There you go.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome to the show. You weren't prepared for the extra intro. That was an extra intro.
Very, very.
There you go. So,
I need to say more. I'm speechless.
Boom, there we go. So, together, okay? Together, we will unpack the work of a man who's not just preserving surrealism, he's electrifying surrealism. Right. So we're going to have a special guest tonight, and we're going to bring him in a minute. Let me give a little conversation. You know, you know who the guest is. Our guest tonight is Marcel Katz, better known as the Art Plug. And it is true. Truly, this guy is amazing, and I can't wait till we get him in. At just the age of 30, he's become the youngest dealer of Salvatore Dali. Did I say it correctly?
Salvatore Dali.
And he'll correct me when he gets into the show. Famous artist. Wonderful. Melting clocks, folks. If you don't know, stay with us if you're watching and listening. On the ticker, if you're listening or watching on your TV screen, on the ticker below is the information about the show and how to contact our guest, etc., and the show. But anyway, so our guest is now been doing this for a bit, but it's really catching attention. He is foregoing a partnership with the Dali universe to create wearable sculptures. Very interesting. Wearable sculptures.
It really is.
And I know our new tech guy, BJ, is dying to ask questions shortly. Get your tech squared away before you jump in. Wearable sculptures. Museum-grade art, folks. Museum-grade. We're not talking like some crap you got at the mall. We're talking high-quality, like legit stuff. Wait, just wait till we get into it. You wear, not garbage, good stuff. And it's from immersive hotel takeovers to catalog collectibles. Katz is turning surrealism into something you live, not that you look at, right? It's
absolutely.
Like he's turning Dali and maybe others soon, I don't know. But you know, he's turning it from just a museum masterpiece, taking art from the classroom, from the museums, and he's putting it into the world. Here's a person. It's not in my notes. Here is a person, such young in life, so well adept to what he wants to do and wants to make a difference, and he's doing it. And he's bringing some character into a cluttered, chaotic world. So let's get into it. So as always, we got to start off with our famous relevant quote of the day.
And what's the quote of the day?
It's obviously going to be art, right? Surrealism is destructive, but it destroys only what it considers to be shackles, limiting our vision. Read it one more time. Surrealism is destructive, but it destroys only what it considers to be the shackles, limiting our vision. That is from Dali himself.
Really? Wow.
Interesting, right?
It very is interesting.
So, let's get this moving forward. Our guest tonight has taken the legacy of Dali and made it something urgent. something disruptive, yet alive, yet feelable, but palpable in the mind. Not in my notes, I beat you there. He's a visionary, truly, but he's a curator of not just art, he's a curator of culture, and he truly is the man. Gary, bring in Marcel Katz, the art plug.
Thank you, Eric. Thank you for having me. Hi, Bianca. Hi, everyone.
Welcome. Welcome. How are you today?
Excellent. Excellent. Had a very productive day. You know, did a little bit of self-care, and now I'm here, ready to chat.
That's good that you do self-care, because you know what? So many people don't do that. And oh, yeah. I think if you can't take care of yourself, you can't take care of those around you. So I respect that. I respect that.
Well said.
So I got a bunch of notes here. We're just kind of going to go back and forth. Bianca's really the entertainment socialite of this, and I'm more of the legal side and all that, but I still know my stuff. I am a Vincent Van Gogh fan, but I do like Dolly, the Melting Clocks, my favorite.
Yes. The Melting Clock, it's the persistence of memory.
Oh, see, that she got me here. She called me out.
Right? Is that correct? Mm-hmm.
Yes, so the persistence of memory from 1931.
Ooh, right off the top of your head. Let's start with the real surreal. You brought Salvador Dali, right? Am I saying correctly?
Yeah.
I pronounce it correctly for everybody listening at home.
Well, it depends if you're in Spain or in Europe or in the States, but typically it's Salvador Dali, or you could say Salvatore Dali.
There you go. Well, you're being heard in 57 countries on 2300 plus AM, FM, and iHeart, Spotify, and other stations. And then you're going to be platformed into every podcast. So say it in every way so all the people that are interested and want to talk to you about business know how to hear.
I would say Salvatore Dali.
There you go. All right. Yeah. I like it. All right. So before we move in, how about you take about 20 seconds, 30 seconds to tell us a little bit about you before I get into the specifics that I know and we're going to chat about. So introduce yourself to everybody.
Got it. Okay. So I'm Marcel Katz. I'm based out of Miami, Florida, and Modena, Italy. And I've been professionally in the art industry since 2014. I started by managing emerging artists and developing an art gallery, fine art gallery. In 2018, I started a fine art gallery and developed the art plug.
And that's in Miami, right?
Okay. Miami, which ended up turning global because art is, you know, international. And over time, you know, it ended up spreading more and more all over the world. So I ended up engaging with different cultures and people and artists from everywhere. And in 2020, I ended up bringing Salvador Dali for the first time to Miami, importing different sculptures and things like that, and creating an experience when Art Basel was canceled.
And right. A lot of art's been canceled. Right.
Yes.
Yeah. And, you're not canceled. We're not canceled. You're welcome here.
You can't stop art. I mean, art is culture. It's, you know, most.
And real art. Real art. You know, don't get me started on some stuff that people want to call art. I've been to Guggenheim, and I've seen some things that I question, you know, but this is real art.
Yeah, a lot of it's politics and connections.
Silly. Yeah, right. Remember back, you know, here's one off the note, and you may remember not. It was an issue in New York City back in the late 90s, early 2000s, where somebody posted a picture of the Holy Mary. Remember that? With elephant dung, they called it dung, but crap, whatever. On it, and they called it art, and Mayor Giuliani told them they got to take it down or they lost money. You remember that?
Things like that happen quite often. You'd be surprised.
Yeah. And I wasn't trying to call you out because of the law and government side, but it was that kind of story. But that's the kind of stuff that's going on.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, when there's money involved, people want to take advantage of that, and they end up doing these types of things where they're looking for a quick buck. But if you really care about the culture, you do things for the long term. You know that eventually people are going to figure out what the recipe is. So you want to make sure that you're authentic in your approach and what you're revealing.
And you know what I just thought of? And it's not in my notes, but mark it down to not let us forget this. But real art, I worry about AI moving forward, real art. not in the segment for today, not about, but it's something we could chat about. But let me get into the crux. But I know you like it. So write it down and plug it in. Let's get to the, let's start moving. But I know you're liking it too, because I think it's going to take away from people like you. I'm a writer, and I worry about that as a writer. You know, I just question, it's a tool, but it's going to, they're trying to replace people. And we could talk about that. But I want to start with how I planned this. Let's start with the real surreal. You brought Dolly to Miami, right? And obviously bigger than that. For the first time, though, during the height of, and we'll say it here, COVID-19 pandemic. And then 6 months of full hotel transformation and a Vatican imported structure in the lobby. What made you believe that people didn't just want art, but they needed the art? There you go. I was prepared for that question.
So to be honest with you, this was something that we had planned early on in the year. We didn't realize how serious COVID was going to be. During the inception of the concept, everything was still going on. You know, Art Basel was scheduled and all a bunch of other shows were still, you know, said to be happening. As we progressed in initiating the concept with the Hyatt and the Confidant, which was this, one of the hotels owned by the Hyatt group, we initially were having it was a 3-month engagement.
Wow.
And
during a really traumatic time.
Yes.
It says so much of volumes about you as a business person, as a cultural icon. It says so much.
Thank you. Thank you. And so there were a few significant things that occurred during the planning of this. Most of it wasn't really as planned as people think. The selection of sculptures and how we curated the show was... It changed over time, and it was self-funded. I funded this myself. I didn't really have investors. I didn't have investors at all, actually. I believed in something, and I was
You're about the people.
Yeah, and my team believed in something, and I was able to display good leadership and maintain a team that was able to execute this show.
That's a difficult job in itself, maintaining a team and getting people with work ethic to show up.
100%. And think about it this way, right? Typically, when you go into a show, think of, it's 2020. I've already had award-winning shows since 2017, right? This is 2020. And now some of the partners where the money's coming from, the sponsors, let's say, we call them partners. Their commitment is changing because it's COVID. They don't want to take a risk.
Right. They don't want to take this was the big risk and the perfect risk to take at the right time.
You saw
the future, and you did some wonderful things.
This is
the point that meant something to her. She wanted to plug in.
And offering free admission to students and frontline workers, Marcel, that was more than a gesture. That was a statement. Was that your way of saying the art belongs to the people?
Oh, very profound.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, there's many reasons why I decided to do that. I noticed that there was a lot of students that don't have the opportunity to see art. They charge like a lot of museums charge admission. And they don't
when have, they shouldn't.
And you have people that are working crazy hours, that like healthcare workers and things like that, you know, in the hospital that aren't, they don't have some sort of outlet like art, which I think is super important to experience. To express in order for your mental health, and
it allows you to go somewhere else too.
And a community like Miami, where there's so much going on, but all of a sudden so little going on, it's very important to influence our fellow communities here in Miami to be able to experience art, no matter what age you are, and so we did that.
Yeah, I mean, that's impressive. And I know that I was impressed by that, but she wanted to make that really put that, because I think that's a big deal. That's a big deal. Because it belongs to the people. Granted, there is a process and people have to get paid to do the job. But at the same time, it is the people's work.
Yes.
Right. So I'm interested in this wearables. Let's talk about that for a second. these wearable pieces. They're not just accessories. They're like, I feel like artifacts almost, right?
Yes.
They're certified by what they call, you call the Dali universe, which you can help us understand what that means. But what I really is, what inspired you to become like the surrealist in art into fashion and then armor that into the reality for the public? Like what made that happen? It's like a really amazing process.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah. So, the inspiration behind that was honestly just harnessing myself and being able to be myself. I've always wanted to, you know, you see all these people wearing brands and the vision of somebody else, but I was just like, you know what? I've been more into being able to represent myself, being, you know, I'll wear a gray polo or something, but it doesn't really say a brand on it.
Right. Right.
You know, obviously when you appreciate art, you think of your eyes, right? You're looking at it, right?
Mm-hmm. First, your imagination. I think I see a whole world in it.
Mind and vision.
It's a whole perception. It's like a sixth sense almost.
Exactly.
You're really connecting all the senses into one.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, it takes a lot to be able to work with a group at that caliber where they're Benjamin Levy happens to be the largest collector of Salvador Dali and Picasso. And
Picasso, I like,
also Picasso. And at first, I was just dealing the work, and I still deal the work, but I never really thought that I would have an opportunity to create something in partnership with the Dali universe. It was more of like,
what does the universe mean? Help me, help my listeners and viewers understand what the Dali universe means, right? I'm getting a nod from BJ because he doesn't know either, so. We're good.
The Dali universe represents, it's more than just being global. There's more to like art than what's on Earth. Dali was into astrology heavily. So
there you go, Bianca.
Yeah, that's
they named it after his vision of a universal art expression of art. So that's where you get the name from. And they're based out of Barcelona. But have a few running exhibitions right now. A couple in Italy right now, so that's pretty cool.
Good for you. Good for you. Bianca has a point, but we have to take a short commercial break. Don't go anywhere, folks. We'll be right back. Otherwise, no Dali for you. Alphile Zone, Eric A. Sinati, iHeart. We'll see you in 2 minutes.
Looking to amplify your brand's voice? Look no further than Bishop Stein and Associates, your premier PR powerhouse. From targeted advertising to innovative marketing solutions, we're here to elevate your brand. But wait, there's more. Are you a strong speaker? Join our exclusive speakers bureau and share your expertise with the world or book our top-tier talent for your event. Whether you're launching a product, rebranding, or seeking expert speakers, Bishop Stein & Associates delivers results. Transform your brand today. Visit us at bsaprinc.com and discover how we can amplify your success today. Bishop Stein and Associates, your strategic move.
At the Right Man Law Firm, we understand the importance of your constitutional rights. We truly care that we must get a client their desired result. If your freedom is compromised in any way, you call us. We do immigration, state and federal criminal defense, personal injury, bankruptcy, DWIs, family law, real estate law. We want you to be confident in our ability to represent you.
Welcome back to the Hostile Zone with the infamous and famous, or infamous, whatever you want to call me, Eric A. Sinati, right here on the Hostile Zone on iHeartRadio and your FM dial with Miss Bianca C-E-S-E-A, like the ocean. We are back again discussing Dali with Marcel Katz. So, before we left the break, we were talking about Marcel, you know, your wearables, and Miss Bianca had something she wanted to ask about the wearables and the universe that you're working on.
Absolutely. Marcel, I always say what we wear speaks louder than what we do. Who do you envision wearing these pieces, and what are they saying without even opening their mouth?
Wow. Impactful.
Yes.
Hold on.
So, really, I wanted to create something that could be for everybody. Obviously, this is going to be what we're creating now. This is the first time we're doing it. So it is going to be limited. We're doing 4 SKUs or SKUs, and it'll be limited to 111 of each SKU. There's going to be something that's more on the minimal side, similar to this style of look, right?
Okay, yeah.
Right? And there's going to be another...
The listeners, he's talking about his
sunglasses. The wearable sculptures. They're going to be... It's going to be eyewear to start.
Just earlier today, I was commenting, I love your glasses, by the way.
Thank you. These are called the Scholars. And they're handmade. Yeah, and they're handmade.
Oh, nice. We can actually see that. Hold that back to the camera again.
Awesome.
Hold the side name. Nice, nice. And be sure for the listeners to tell them what
very
it is.
Nice.
These are one of my creations. We have about 8 shapes and designs right now. Everything's handmade in Modena, Italy. Nothing is made outside of Italy. Everything is actually really made in Modena. What is known as Modo Valley.
Yeah. Now, my question, because I'm interested that you said that, because I have glasses myself. These are nice things that you're making. Are they now? How do I get? Would I be able to get my regular frames in that? My lenses in them?
Yeah. Yes, you could. Our team. We have 2 optometrists that are the lead of our factory. So yes, you can for sure. But what we're offering is going to be the 4 SKUs at first, and then next year we're going to be offering a new group of designs as well. For this first round, they're going to be inspired by the triumphant elephant, which will be the legs of an insect, basically, for the stems, and then the persistence of memory for the main frame. So that'll be really cool. It's a combination of 2 different concepts that Dali has created, and they will be made in Italy because of the quality of work.
The craftsmanship, right? Yeah. Right. Basically, it's not coming from China.
No, never.
Which is, we want our listeners and viewers to know that.
It's very important to me. There's been, touching on that, there's been many...
I knew I'd set you up on something that I wanted to talk about a little bit.
you can sacrifice quality a little bit where it's almost unnoticeable for the vast majority of connoisseurs of eyewear or fashion or whatever it is. But to me, even if that... there's one person that can tell, it's just not authentic to me. I've had countless people come up to me and go, I can make those, what they go first.
My
they go,
3D printer or some crap like that.
They
right?
go, at first they're like, yo, how much are you paying per pair to make them? And then when I tell them, they're like, that's too much. Are you crazy? And I'm like, no, I mean,
that's why it's a collectible. Quality. It's an authentic collectible.
Yeah.
I can buy fake tickets to a Yankee game. Doesn't mean I'm getting in the game. I can make them on my computer. Yeah, no, I'm with you.
Yeah, and I want it to be something that lasts for as long as the test of time.
The test of time, like the melting clocks. Perfect. Pieces.
Yeah.
Did you plan that statement?
Got it. with the fun.
Yeah.
But in an age where. Information is so readily available, and to me, I was never really into art or because of money. It was more of the impact that I could create because it was like at the time untapped by kind of like it was kind of like art was more dominated by an older group of
you know what you make me laugh, Marcel. Did Carrie share to you my notes?
No.
Because literally my next question to you is about democracy and Dali out there, taking him out and you're bringing him back into the world. It's almost like exactly a perfect segue into that. And that's what I was going to say. I was going to talk about the breaking the gallery walls and making Dali mainstream. And there it is. And I put this together. I really read your stuff. I paid attention, so I know what I'm about to ask. You've challenged the art world, man. You really have. The ivory tower approach. You're hitting them. Harvard style. No gatekeeping. No pretension. Nothing. You do not think that this not made enemies for you in the traditional art circles, or has it forced them to evolve? Now, I know I make enemies. or they're either going to hate me or love me, or they're going to evolve with me. I know you have that same problem. They hate you or love you. Are you finding that you're having more haters, more lovers, or are people evolving to welcome you into the community? So or are you creating a brand new community?
So that's a really good, actually a very good point. Especially towards the beginning of my public career in fine art per se, it was made quite difficult for me to market and retain some of the artists that I was showcasing. Right. Because a lot of these guys, a lot of these art fairs during Art Basel or Miami Art Week, they have more money. They have more, I guess, influence. But
that doesn't mean anything in the real world. I mean, yeah. It does buy and sell, but in this niche, it means your character, your depth, and your thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
not your niche.
When someone like me that is just so, this fire is burning there's so much fire to me and my desire to succeed that it's like unstoppable. There's nothing.
You will yourself to the next level.
That is awesome.
Yeah. No matter what. And it's not like what I'm like when I'm putting on a show, it's not like I don't have other streams of revenue. I have multiple streams of revenue. So
of course,
from a financial standpoint, I always make it happen. But what's more powerful than money in making these things happen is the relationships, is that my ability as not only as somebody that showcases art, but I'm also a creator. And I'm one of the most viral creators when it comes to digital assets in the world. I get about 130 million views every month right now. So I'm able to offer people, inspiration, which is quite common for someone to even show appreciation of. But
right.
I'm able to create stuff for a lot of people. And I have the power, which somehow was gifted to me, to really create a long-lasting relationship with some people that can contribute to what I'm about to do, whether it's...
So they believe in what your mission is, not in the bottom line.
Yeah. And I mean, typically these shows, when you go to like Miami Art Week or you're going to any like Art Basel show, it's a white wall with art. There was never really an interactive component to these types of shows.
I can't wait till people show up with your wearables to these events.
Yeah.
I would love to be a fly in the room for that.
Yeah, for sure. No, you definitely will. I have set aside tickets for some of our listeners today. So we'll be giving away a little surprise attack.
Nice.
But we'll definitely
give a
few of our listeners some tickets, VIP tickets, so they can come hang out.
I'd love to cover it on my show too.
Yeah, no, definitely.
If you want to give us a tour, we can go live from there.
Yeah. These exhibitions, like the one we're going to be doing this year during Miami Art Week, which I haven't really told anybody about. But
when is Miami Art Week, by the way?
In the first week of December.
Okay.
Yeah. But there really is no VIP. It's kind of just like, you're invited. Even the people that show up, we're going to figure out ways to take care of everybody. And even if you can't afford a ticket or something like that, and you could showcase,
we make it happen. Yeah.
That, you're having financial issues, we make it happen for you.
I like that. And we do the same. We're always trying to help somebody out.
You know, that's
absolutely
awesome. You know, like, as you know, the Met in New York, actually, like, if you couldn't afford to get in,
they would
offer like a donation of what you could afford. And that, I think that's great. In order to share,
I like
share,
that.
That's great.
And I think
and
if you have the money,
you want to share that with everybody.
If you have it, you give it. And if you can't afford it, but you want to absorb culture, you have that right to absorb culture.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, there's been a lot of, so we, like during Art Week, I've worked with brands like, for example, Red Bull, which has helped us create some of the most memorable moments ever, whether it was, you know, jumping motorcycles in the Miami Design District on a rooftop of a very famous architectural design building, and being able to implement art into extreme, action sports. Right. And it's brands like that that really...
And those brands do take risks and do that. They do that. The Red Bull flying race in Dubai.
Yeah.
I've been to a couple of these things. So they are a great sponsor for that stuff.
Yeah. And it's become, like, with a brand like that, it's become more than just a sponsorship. It's become, like, almost like family. It's like we're friends with, you know, the FMX team, which are the motorcycle riders.
Yep.
Or the wakeboarders or the skateboarders, you know. Even like, you know, I have a friend of mine who's, like, you know, professional skateboarder. His father is with me once every blue moon. We have lunch, we hang out, and it's become more than that. And it's more of a lifestyle. And they're able to really, you know, brands like that are able to really change how things are perceived. And it's like almost like their own.
And they reach a different crowd, I think.
Yeah.
It's than they normally would. People have money. Some of these people have a lot of money to spend.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Yeah. I mean, I don't have any authentic Dali, but I do have actually, like, right here on, behind me on the wall is actually a handwritten letter from Abraham Lincoln.
Wow.
Signed by Abraham Lincoln. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, not the, but it's like original. That's what I have real.
And that's cool. Yeah,
that means something. So, like what you're saying, but this means stuff. It's historic. It means something. It changes culture. It creates society. It moves us to where we are today.
Yes. That's well said, for sure. It definitely does help shape the way things are going, especially in times like these where there's so many influences. When you open up your phone, you know, or use any social media and things like that, you'd be surprised. Like, the way you think is always going to be different.
We know it's fake 90%, right? I mean,
yeah.
You know, nobody's life is that great. Nobody's life is that great. Yeah, I've got a bunch of questions for you.
Yeah, Marcel, you've made surrealism feel fresh, dangerous again. Is your mission to wake up the mission to wake up the people who were never invited into those velvet rope gallery spaces?
Ooh, yeah, I mean, I like to make it welcoming for everybody. I want people to feel comfortable when they come to a show. I want you to feel like, hey, I feel like I'm at home. I feel like I made a new friend. I feel like I'm making a new memory. And it's always a new experience. Everything's always different. But our approach is friendly. It's not too refined or traditional. It's always experiential. And it's right in the middle. So it's not like you're going to feel like, oh, I'm going to be uncomfortable. You're going to make new friends, you know, at our shows.
Right. It's all about making friends. And you have to be open-minded to the people you meet. You can't judge a book by its cover. You can't believe what you read everywhere online about. Meet somebody, talk to them, get to know the truth. You know, everybody has a persona somebody wants to give you, but it doesn't mean that's who you are.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think some worlds aren't one of them. Law, politics is another one. Where they are very selective on who we allow in. And I feel that that's a shame because they're both worlds, politics, law, and art, are both shaping society. They both shape where our beliefs are set in these things. You could place art next to the Constitution. And actually, you had the Lincoln photo from Dali. And that was kind of like a little spinoff I wasn't planning on to bring in the Constitution. But the truth is, this is a display of who we are and what we believe and what we are as people. And I think that you truly are given that option.
Yeah, I was telling you about
she loves this one, yeah.
The Lincoln of Dali vision.
You know that one? I mean, of course you know that.
I love it.
What's your thought on that? Because she showed it to me the first time. Well, tell everybody what it is. Well, and then I'll tell you what I saw first and then what I saw again.
Well, it's to be honest with you, that part I don't really remember right now, so I can't really touch on that. But if you refresh my memory, I can tell you.
The one that it looks like there's a
inflated one,
and then when you squint your eyes,
I know what you're talking about. Okay, I remember.
Yeah,
I knew you knew. They're showcasing that one of those pieces. Well, that piece in Modena right now. And it's almost like a pixelated Abraham Lincoln. Yeah.
Yes.
So it's a very famous piece. But they at the exhibition in Modena...
Did we say it wrong? Is that why you didn't know what we were saying?
No, I just... There's so much.
There's so much, right?
I wonder if it was something that was written. Because there's a lot of history
about
Dali that isn't just something that he actually painted.
So there's a lot. Yeah.
He has a lot of sculptures, and a lot of it isn't really.
He's a writer too. He wrote.
Yeah, a lot of it isn't just written. It's like there's different renditions, or how you say, there's just different interpretations.
I know what you're saying, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
yeah, so, the artsy word.
Yeah,
the artsy fartsy word.
Yes, yeah, so he was a master of illusion, and obviously, when they were planning this exhibition in Modena, they placed it at a distance. So, like, when you're walking from one of the rooms to the next room, it's about, like, 60, 70 feet away from you. And you're like, you can make it out, you know? And then as you get closer, you realize that it's squares to compose Abraham Lincoln's figure.
Yeah. She liked it. I thought it was cool. But when I saw it, like you said, two different times I looked at it, and I was not expecting. She didn't tell. I wouldn't first, even when I saw it first time, and then when she showed me today before filming with you, I was not prepared for what it was going to be. And two different times when I looked, I saw something different.
Yeah, 100%. And it something that's kind of cool about it is, you know, Dali was born in Figueres, Spain. So it really shows an appreciation for U.S. culture, American culture.
Right.
For him to be painting a figure like that. But there are prints of it, like lithographs and things like that, that were available down the line, but based off the original creation. But yeah, it definitely shows his appreciation for the American culture. And he was a big fan of, you know, coming to the States, and he spent time in New York, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
He worked with brands like Coca-Cola and things like that. So, he, you know, as somebody that's born in Europe during, you know, you're talking over 100 years ago, it's kind of rare to be so welcoming to the American culture. And
yeah.
I think that appreciation of diversity early on really inspired a lot of today's world.
I think because he's artistic, he's more open-minded.
Yes.
And I think... you have to be open-minded no matter what in life. You really do. And you have to be willing to hear and see every opinion and every thought, whether you like it or not, because it is somebody, it is a thought. And if somebody feels it, then it's real. And you need to recognize that.
Yes.
Whether I agree with it or not, right?
Yes. And what I love about Dali is that he is so out there with his visions and everything. People always think that he would be on drugs when he's really not.
Right.
He was sober as can be. And I love that about that artist, that it's just him out there.
Right. Unbelievable. So, yeah. Now, ready? I'm going to move into my next thought for you.
Yeah.
In the age of illusion, and obviously, you know, we're living in that age of illusion, where reality may be already surreal. So, with that, we're living in a world with deep fakes. I knew you were going to get us back here. We're living in a world with deep fakes, algorithmic anomalies, fake realities, filtered truths. In 2025, surrealism isn't a style. It's a lifestyle. It really is. Mm-hmm. It's a lifestyle. So with that, Marcel, does Dali's philosophy feel more relevant to you now than ever before? Or do you feel it's just maintained the same and it has more exposure?
It's been definitely an influence more than ever now, and it's going to keep growing. I think back, you know, if you go backwards 10, 20 years, it wasn't as appreciated as it is now. He's become more of a global name more than ever now.
Right.
You know, you have museums like the Dali Museum in Tampa with really unique experiential approaches, expressing and helping express his surrealistic approach and technique of art that he had mastered. Even though he wasn't really the first to do surrealism, he became the most well known for that style.
Biggest name in that.
Yeah. And I think it's impacted the way art has been perceived more than people realize, especially with the use of deepfakes and AI. You know, it's people don't realize how impactful his art really was or is.
Right.
It's only growing.
So Bianca, yeah. You had something?
Well, Marcel, you're navigating a culture where nothing feels authentic. How do you keep surrealism pure without being co-opted by the very simulation it's meant to challenge?
Wow, depth of a question, Ms. Bianca.
Well, you know, that's a great question. I think that it's ever changing. I think that it's always, perception's always going to shift with time. And, you know, what people think now is not what people are going to think the next year or a year from now.
Right. Very, very true. Very true.
So it really comes down to the way you analyze it and your personal open-mindedness when you're enjoying the work or not enjoying the work. It's an ever-shifting paradigm. And even though some people might say that it's unreal, like art is, you know, that style might be unrealistic, it's really challenging the way you think and leading to more people thinking outside the box, which I think is a great thing.
You know, I think it really does. Anytime you can break the mold a little bit, not to reinvent the wheel, but everybody's so tunnel vision. And I think this kind of stuff opens the tunnel. Bring some more light other than just at the end of the tunnel, right?
Exactly.
So you're like a light bulb in the tunnel, right, Marcel?
Yeah, I guess so.
We're going to circle into St. George and the Dragon.
Ooh.
The modern metaphor. You ready for that one, huh?
Yeah.
So let's talk about St. George and the Dragon. You placed that 1.3 million sculpture at the center of your exhibition, right? It's a symbol of resilience. It's a symbol of just American brilliance, American exceptionalism at the forefront during COVID. And your eyes, what's the Dragons today? What are we fighting for now, Marcel? What are you fighting for now? What's the Dragon? What's the Demon?
So the meaning behind that, and that was probably the most significant piece of our showcase in 2020. The Dragon represented COVID, and St. George was the noble figure, which was faceless. You know, you can't really tell if it's a man or a woman, but it's defeating the dragon. So it's basically mankind defeating COVID. So, which we didn't know was going to happen with COVID. Everybody was like, oh man, like freaking out, thinking it was the end of the world. But
yeah,
this was a way of us sending the message that there's hope. And I'm actually really showcasing that, making a real example of it by highlighting it in Miami during Art Basel.
You know, and there's always hope. But with hope, we have to take a commercial break. Don't go anywhere, folks. We're coming right back. Miss Bianca has a question for Marcel to go even deeper on the Dragon. But otherwise, if you don't come back, I'm sending the Dragon for you, folks. We'll be right back.
Looking to amplify your brand's voice? Look no further than Bishop Stein and Associates, your premier PR powerhouse. From targeted advertising to innovative marketing solutions, we're here to elevate your brand. But wait, there's more. Are you a strong speaker? Join our exclusive speakers bureau and share your expertise with the world or book our top-tier talent for your event. Whether you're launching a product, rebranding, or seeking expert speakers, Bishop Stein and Associates delivers results. Transform your brand today. Visit us at bsaprinc.com and discover how we can amplify your success today. Bishop Stein and Associates, your strategic move.
Welcome back to the Hostile Zone. Eric A. Sinati right here on iHeart Radio, FM Radio, AM, wherever it is you're listening or watching, accompanied by Miss Bianca C-S-E-A, like the ocean. We are with Marcel Katz, the one and only youngest, most famous Dali licensed, authorized licensed dealer in the world, headquartered out of Miami, correct, right? But you have other places around, but headquartered out of Miami. So before we left break, folks, we were talking about St. George and the Dragon.
Yeah.
And Miss Bianca wanted to throw a piece in about St. George and the Dragon. You said the dragon was COVID. So I agree, and that was a good symbol. What's your question, Bianca?
I wanted to ask, who's St. George in the story? The artist the activist, or is the everyday person trying to make sense of this madness?
Ooh, wow. Well, that depends on your view. I mean, when I'm pretty sure when Dali created this sculpture, it really was, he loved history. So he was taking something out of history and trying to show a message. And there really is no, I think, right answer to this. I think it represents whatever you kind of want it to be. It's not like when, you know, we were planning this show that it represented a noble figure defeating COVID. Or mankind defeating COVID.
But mankind defeating itself.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, what is it? Self-defeating behavior.
Yes.
It could be addiction, right? The dragon could be the demon in your own.
Yeah, but exactly. But at the time, the big thing going on that we were trying to figure out how to relate, which piece of art could relate with the current situation going on in the world?
Right.
That's
a perfect one, yeah.
Yeah, and we thought that was the most suiting to represent what was going on.
And the melting time, maybe with all the time we had to sit in the house, but still.
Yeah, that's
just an afterthought now, but the dragon slayed. The dragon was slayed. And it always ends up getting slayed.
And you know, because there's a fit. So on that sculpture, there's a small figure of a woman, and she has her hand like this, kind of, right? Uh-huh. And it's showing that he's the knight, or St. George, sorry, excuse me, is victorious in his defeat of the dragon. So that figure is important on that sculpture because it signifies the victory of St. George. That's how you know we win.
And, you know, and honestly, that's pretty much the end of my direct questions. But you have created a victory in yourself in what it is you're doing. And I do applaud you. You know, what do you have coming out now? Like what the wearables, like where are you with that? This is pre-arm two, like stuff where you have a few minutes, so I threw that in. This is your chance to pitch whatever it is you got going right now. Tell everybody, the listeners, the viewers, what it is you're selling, what it is you're promoting, what events you got, whatever it is, your time. Take a couple minutes.
Yeah, so with us, it's really we are fine tuning our the Artplug brand, and I'm working on some marketing for a movie. It's called BFFs, and which is kind of cool. It features a bunch of actors and actresses. It's coming out July 18th, and it's been an interesting experience because kind of working in Hollywood now. And of course we're doing I Wear Marcel, which is based out of Modena, Italy, and is available all over the world. And we also have some wearables, which is on tplug.xyz, affordable wearables. It's not.
And all of these websites and links, folks, will be in the description. If you're on iHeartRadio, iTunes, Spotify, whatever, when you look up the episode and Google, wherever you might find it on our website, all of your links. So you'll have to provide us all that.
Yeah.
Put that in.
Yeah. But, you know, with us, we've never really been a brand where we try to sell something. It's like, it's always been kind of like, if somebody inquires, then we can enlighten them with what we have available. But most, you know, when we create,
it's like education, you're not selling an education. Somebody comes to you seeking it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be the conduit to make sure that people can get to you to find it. Not that you're selling a sales pitch.
Yeah.
Dali doesn't need anybody to sell, Dali. That's going to sell itself. Your stuff is going to sell itself. But people need to find it, you know? So if we can make that conduit happen, you know, that bridge, I think that's a big deal.
Yeah, and we'll definitely highlight that in the description. We will incorporate some of the websites that we have that are tied to me and Artplug. And, of course, we'll do some giveaways. I love giving. You know, we do that seasonally.
If you would like to say what you have, then we can have people call in and email into the show and tell us what we have so I can let the listeners know. Tell them what they have available. What are you offering up?
One of the biggest things that we have available is going to be information. You know, we do have a blog on our website, and you're able to get information for free on various topics. And we're going to be refining that. which is the cool part, where it would started kind of as a hobby. Now I have, you know, more people involved where there's going to be more strategy to what we're writing about. So our media, like our media component is going to be a little more enriched and more defined, and it's just expanding. And that's an exciting part. But yeah, of course we have wearables, home decor.
And you mentioned tickets or something in the beginning for some listeners or viewers.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Tickets, exhibitions. Wow. For sure. Really yeah. Cool. And most of the stuff is affordable. There's art for everybody. I believe like our brand is based off of that, but obviously there's some high ticket items and things like that. They're a little more unique, but for the most part, we make things happen at any budget. And that's one of the cool parts about Artplug, whether it's information or actual tangible items, we can make it happen for you. And of course we offer mentorship programs and things like that.
Nice.
So if you're somebody that's looking to learn a little bit more about yourself and you need to figure out how to get to the next level as an artist or a creative, whether it's digital or physical art, we can make that happen for you.
That's wonderful. Awesome. Now, if somebody wanted to reach you, how would they reach you? Remember, we're on air and on TV and video, so say whatever it is. We'll put it on the screen as well, but also say it for the people in the car that might be driving home and listening.
Well, the best way is to follow my Instagram, which is at the art plug, right?
The art plug.
Yeah, the art plug. Or you can email us at hello@artplug.com.
Oh, that's pretty easy.
That's the best way to get in touch. You can DM us or DM me. I'm always checking,
right,
saying what's up, replying, send you voice notes, things like that. And if you want to take it a step further, we can take it to email. And then, of course, the next step would be phone calls, conference calls, things like that, video chats, Google Meets, and so on.
Yeah. And then you can have all the good tech things that our tech issues that we have going on.
Of course.
It wouldn't be a day on the set if we didn't have a tech crisis. All right. Well, Marcel, we are coming to a hard close because we are, of 1 hour on iHeart every night, and they're going to shut us down at the end of the hour. I am going, but don't go anywhere. We're going to, the production is going to put you back in the green room, and we're going to talk after about some additional stuff. But I truly thank you very much for coming on. I thank you for what it is that you're doing. I think that you make a difference. I really do. I think you do. You bring something different, and you bring something to the table that allows people's brain that are full of clutter and garbage and nonsense. And you put something that's creative yet wholesome and allows the brain and the imagination to run wild, but in a positive way, not the other garbage that we see online where the imagination can run wild. Right. Anything you want to add in on it, Bianca, before we say goodbye to the green room?
I just want to say, keep on doing what you're doing, because this is awesome. And, you know, it's all about the art. And you're right about, it's not all about the money. It's all about spreading it out.
But you got to survive. You got to make a living.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But if you do what you love, you never work a day in your life.
That's right.
But you do got to pay your bills. Like you said, self-care, right?
Thank you.
Again, Marcel Katz, Dolly, the man himself right here. The art plug. There it is. Yes, it is. A little twit. If you're going to do that, you got to grow a little mustache to put a little wax in
it. It's coming. It's December.
Go. All right, go to the green one. We'll talk to you after. Thanks again for coming in tonight.
Thank you.
So, folks, Marcel doesn't just curate culture.
Mm-hmm.
He mobilizes it. He truly does. He is culture. He is what is good about America. He is what is good about, I want to say, the internet and entertainment in general. Mm-hmm. Myself excluded from that, because obviously everything's great when I do it. But I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. No, but seriously, and I'm not saying he created the internet, please. Let's not get bots and trolls on that. But I'm saying he is what's great about America and about thinking and taking a thought and bringing it into an action that might change somebody else's life, and using technology and the advanced ways we communicate for good, for positive, but not forgetting the past. And I think that's key. That is key. And Marcel is doing what is important. He's doing today, but not forgetting tomorrow, right?
That's right.
So the kids coming today in school and learning stuff, they're going to learn about these things, but they're going to learn it in a more exciting, up-to-date way, I guess I can say, manner.
Or like a hands-on.
Yes, but you're not forgetting the historic and the significance of art, of artists, of art, of anything. I think that's great. He's turning surrealism into a mirror. Look right into that mirror. It's a movement. It's a mode of survival. Mm-hmm. Honestly, it is a mode of survival because people look to something to get away from something, right? Mm-hmm. And surrealism and art and this show and other things that are out there are avenues for people to go to get away from reality of things you don't want to know. I'm not saying you're putting reality in behind you and not paying attention, because that would be that would not be responsible be to tell people. Mm. But what I'm saying is you're putting reality for a minute in the closet, and then you're going into another room, and the other room is another reality where you can decompress and let your brain and your imagination loosen up. And maybe you can deal another day with the world, and you can deal another day with life and some of the terrible things that comes that way. You know, it's about authenticity, and that's a rare commodity. Mm-hmm. Authenticity. Nobody's authentic anymore. And I was getting into that with Marcel, and we're going to talk more. Great guy. And the fact is, we were getting into AI, and I liked we were going to go there with authenticity, you know, being authentic. Authentic is real. Making something generated with AI is not. Mm-hmm. And what he's doing is creating authentic works from works. Big difference. And he's doing it himself. He's doing it the right way.
With quality.
High-end quality. Mm-hmm. You know, and his work stands as a reminder that creativity isn't a luxury. It's a lifeline. You know, we're confusing luxury and stuff, but it's not a luxury. It's a lifeline. You need that. We need to get out of that, out of the world sometimes. So whether it's worn, witnessed, walkthrough, surrealism speaks, and it speaks loud, and it speaks through Marcel Katz. And right now, we need to shout Marcel, the art plug. So, anything on that, Miss Bianca? Am I ready to move into Sonati's call to action?
Let's go to the call to action.
Let's go right to Sonati. All right. So, folks, as always, we say 360, 365, 180 degrees forward, 180 degrees behind you, your head on a swivel. 180 degrees times 2 is 360, times 365, which is every day of the week. Mm-hmm. If you don't see the world clearly, someone else will redefine it for you. So keep your head on a swivel. Pay attention. Don't let somebody else define what reality is. Don't let somebody else define you or define your world. Ask questions. Embrace your imagination, but embrace truth and embrace the honesty within your own self. And never forget that surreal might just be our last path back to real. Surreal might be the last path back to real. So again, I thank everybody for coming to the Hostile Zone. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Stay bold, stay sharp, stay sexy, right, Miss Bianca?
Absolutely.
And stay informed. We're on every night of the week in podcast platforms, 300 or more in 57 countries. We're not going anywhere. We're everywhere. You can also check me out on Eric A. Sonati Unplugged. So, historical quote of the day in closing.
Okay.
Liberty means responsibility. That is why most men dread it.
Mm-hmm.
Liberty means responsibility, and that is why most men dread it. George Bernard Shaw. An interesting quote. Liberty means responsibility. Right. If you want to get into art, like you were saying, you have to be responsible. Anytime you do anything that gives you freedom and gives you an opportunity, you must be responsible. That's why people run from it. Mm-hmm. So, Carrie, are you there? Funny joke of the day, or do we want to bring Marcel in for the funny joke? Actually, let's bring Markel, he's still in the green room, for the funny joke of the day. Are we there? All right, you're in. Okay, Mark, ready? I always end it with a funny joke. I'm glad you stayed in the green room. So, funny joke. All right, it's always a corny joke of the day, but it's fun. So,
let's hear it.
Dolly once said, "I don't do drugs. I am drugs." In 2025, that means you're just ahead of your time or under surveillance and probably on TikTok. What do you think?
I think that
joke is like a great statement. I thought you'd like it.
I think that's one of, you know, that's crazy you said that, because it actually is what's written on the inside of one of the legs of the glass.
Really? Are you
kidding
me?
I swear.
We got to go heartbreak. Don't go anywhere to the green room.
You remind me.
I know you'd like it. We'll see. Hey, for you, meow. There you go. Folks, we'll catch you next time.
Yes.
Oh, you should cut you off. Sorry, buddy. We'll catch you in the green room. Folks, don't go anywhere. Hostile Zone's always coming at you. Miss Bianca, say goodnight.
Good night.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, for the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets red glare, the balls bursting out, get through the night, that a flag was still there,
and she's not going anywhere.
Oh, say does that star-spangled banner wave for the land.